Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something fascinating, a technology that's kind of fundamental for the next wave of AI. But hang on, before we jump in, a quick shout out to our supporter for this deep dive, safeserver.de. They're the ones handling the hosting for exactly this kind of cutting-edge software, and they can definitely support you with your digital transformation. You can find more info at www.safeserver.de. Okay, so today's focus, QDrant. It's called a vector database, sometimes a vector search engine. And our mission here is simple. Break down what QDrant actually is, why it's becoming so important for, modern AI, and basically how it works. Even if this whole area is new to you, think of it as your easy guide.
Yeah, and what's really exciting, I think, is how QDrant helps AI go way beyond just like simple keyword searching. It helps it really understand the meaning behind the information.
Okay, so let's start right there. The basics. When we say vector database like QDrant, what are these vectors exactly?
Right. So you can think of vectors as these numerical representations, like a digital fingerprint, maybe. For any bit of data, could be text, an image, even audio. And these numbers, these vectors, they're designed to capture the core meaning, the essence of that data. QDrant itself, well, it's a really high-performance system. Its main job is storing, searching, and managing these points, the vectors, but also, crucially, any extra information, what we call a payload, that's attached to them.
Okay, that makes sense. A kind of meaningful numerical ID for data. But why is that suddenly so critical for this next generation of AI? Why do we need this vector search stuff? Isn't keyword search good enough?
Well, traditional search is pretty limited, right? It finds exact words or maybe slight variations. It's like asking for books with cat in the title. But what if you want books about cats or stories that just feel like they involve cats? That's where conceptual similarity comes in. QDrant is built for that. It's tailored for semantic matching, finding things that are conceptually close, even if the words are completely different. That's vital for AI to really grasp nuance.
And I guess doing that kind of complex matching, especially with lots of data, needs speed, reliability too. What makes QDrant handle that?
Absolutely. Performance is key. QDrant is actually written in Rust.
Ah, Rust. Okay.
Yeah. And Rust is known for being incredibly fast and very reliable, especially when you're throwing a lot at it. High load conditions. So it keeps up.
Good to know. And how easy is it for someone to actually get their hands on it? Is it accessible?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's available as like a ready-to-go service with a nice API. Plus, there's a fully managed cloud version, QDrant Cloud. And they even have a free tier, which is great for just trying things out, experimenting.
Right. This is where it gets really practical. How does QDrant actually, tower these smart AI applications we keep hearing about? Got any real-world examples?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at some demos. They really show it off. Take semantic text search. Instead of just matching keywords, like we said, QDrant finds meaningful links in text. So you could ask it for, a movie that feels inspiring. And it gets the feeling, not just the word inspiring. You can actually set up a neural search pretty quickly using pre-trained models. It really changes how you interact with text.
Okay, that's text. What about other things? Images.
Exactly. Similar image search. Think about food discovery. We often pick food based on how it looks, right? So if you see a picture of some amazing dish, but you have no idea what it's called, with QDrant, you could use that image to find visually similar meals. It's pretty neat.
That is neat. Visual search for food. Okay, what else?
Then there's something maybe a bit more technical, but really powerful. Extreme classification, particularly for e-commerce. Imagine online stores with millions, literally millions of products. Assigning categories, maybe multiple labels to each one. That's a huge challenge. QDrant, combined with the right AI models, can handle these massive multi-label problems. It can seriously streamline how products get categorized, making stuff much easier for shoppers to find.
Wow. Okay, so QDrant basically takes these vector fingerprints and makes them usable, turns them into the engine for apps that can match, search, recommend, all that good stuff.
Precisely. And that capability branches out into loads of other key areas, like recommendation systems. QDrant helps build really responsive, personalized recommendations because it can understand preferences from different angles using multiple vectors at once. So you get much better suggestions.
You mentioned ARAG earlier, retrieval augmented generation. That's everywhere now.
Yes. RE, it's crucial there. QDrant helps improve the quality of what AI generates. It lets the AI quickly pull in relevant factual snippets from a huge knowledge base represented as vectors. So the AI's answers are more accurate, more grounded in facts, not just, made up stuff that sounds okay.
That's a big deal.
Huge. And it's also great for data analysis and anomaly detection, finding weird patterns or outliers in really complex data. Quadrant helps spot those anomalies in real time. Think fraud detection, things like that. And one more, AI agents. Giving these agents a kind of memory, Quadrant lets them draw on past interactions or relevant data to handle complex tasks, adapt better, and make smarter decisions.
It's a really broad set of applications.
Yeah.
How does Quadrant actually manage all that under the hood? What are the key features making it so flexible?
Well, a big one is what's called filtering and payload. Remember we mentioned payload?
Yeah.
That extra info attached to the vector. You can attach basically any JSON data you want. And then you can filter your search results based on that payload. Not just similarity, but specific criteria. You can filter by keywords, numbers, geographic locations. And you can combine these filters too, like find things that are similar and match this keyword or are within this price range, but not in this location. Lots of control.
Okay, so you get semantic search plus precise filtering. What about combining semantic search with good old-fashioned keyword relevance? Sometimes you still need that exact word match, right? You mentioned hybrid search, sparse vectors.
Yeah, exactly. That's where sparse vectors come in. Dense vectors are great for meaning, for the semantic stuff, but sometimes keyword relevance is still important. Sparse vectors are kind of like a modern take on order methods like BM25 or TF-IDF that ranked documents based on word counts. But sparse vectors use modern AI, often transformer networks, to weigh those individual words or tokens much more effectively. So you get the best of both worlds, semantic understanding and strong keyword matching when needed.
And handling all this data, potentially billions of vectors, how does it stay efficient, especially at scale? That sounds computationally expensive.
It uses some clever tricks. One is called vector quantization and on-disk storage. Think of it like compressing the vector fingerprints intelligently and storing them efficiently on disk, not just in expensive RAM. This can slash RAM usage by like up to 97%. Huge savings.
Wow, 97%. Okay.
And for really big scale distributed deployment, it basically breaks the data up that's sharding across multiple machines, and it makes copies replication, so if one machine fails, it's okay. This also lets you do updates without any downtime. Zero downtime rolling updates. The system just keeps running.
That all sounds incredibly powerful, but maybe a bit intimidating. So if someone listening is thinking, okay, I want to try this, what's the actual barrier to entry? How easy is it to just start?
It's actually surprisingly easy to get started, really. If you use Python, it's literally just pip install Quadrant client. You're up and running in minutes.
Okay, that is simple.
Yeah. And if you want the full setup locally, like the server and everything, you can run it in a Docker container that bundles everything up. There's a simple command, docker run nowsp 6333.63333,
Done. And it's not just Python, right?
No, not at all. There are official client libraries for Go, Rust, JavaScript, TypeScript, .NET, C#, Java, plus community ones for Elixir, PHP, Ruby, pretty much covered.
And it clearly plays well with others in the AI world. You mentioned LangChain, Cohere, Llama, Index.
Yeah.
Even using it as memory for ChatGPT with OpenAI's retrieval plugin, that integration seems key.
Definitely. It slots right into the existing AI ecosystem, which makes it super versatile for developers.
So to wrap up our deep dive here, you've basically heard how Quadrant is becoming this essential building block for making AI smarter. Better search, better recommendations, more capable AI agents. It's really about enabling AI to not just process information, but to understand and organize it in a meaningful way.
And that does lead to a bigger thought, doesn't it? As AI keeps advancing so rapidly, how are tools like Quadrant, these vector databases, going to fundamentally change how we interact with information, how we interact with technology every day? The potential there is just enormous, and we're really only scratching the surface. Something to think about.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive on Quadrant. A huge thank you once again to our supporter, safeserver.de. They help make this show possible by handling hosting for this kind of advanced software and supporting digital transformation efforts. Check them out at www.safeserver.de. We really hope you pick up some valuable insights today.